Bible.com.
Morning, everyone. Hey, today we're actually going to have a theme of God is light. I mentioned that because you'll notice that our lights are back to flickering again, which is really annoying, probably mostly annoying when you're up here and you're seeing it, but we thought we had that fixed, apparently not. So we thought the public service had it fixed, but apparently not. So again, apologies. We're working on it, though. So if you get some strobe effects or anything like that and have to close your eyes, feel free. But 1 John, we talked last week about real fellowship, connection with God and connection with each other. This morning, in the first few verses, one of the things that I mentioned last week at the beginning was that 1 John is, when John writes his letter here, it's a little all over the place, right? It feels a little bit like you're dodging and weaving because John doesn't have nice, neat little sections in it. As you read this letter, it feels kind of chaotic, and that's because he's a bit of a weaver, right? He kind of comes and goes and revisits ideas throughout the letter. We're going to see that as we move along. Now, there are some different ways that different scholars have kind of broken it down or tried to analyze this letter from a literary standpoint. Some see it as a chiasm, similar to Jesus' teachings that we talked about on the Mount of Olives, where he would do like point one, two, three, and then have his main point right in the middle, and then work back out 3-2-1, right? Some see it as that. Some see John emphasizing just two really main themes, God as light and God as love. Some view it in kind of a cyclical pattern where themes of life and light and love kind of keep getting revisited again and again. And one person described it as a spiral staircase on a three-floor building. I'm like, oh, okay. Talked about how the three floors are like fellowship with God, being children of God, and having salvation from God. And then the stairs, though, between the floors focused on righteousness, truth, and love, and what that looked like in those contexts. So there's a lot of different ways that you could kind of look at the gospel or the letter of 1 John from a literary standpoint. But the main thing I wanted you just to kind of see is that rather than being this linear, logical argument like Paul approaches many of his letters, John's is more of like a poetic sermon, right? It loops and it weaves through these themes numerous times. And you'll see that two of the ideas that we'll hit in today's passage will come up again and again. So today we're going to read and focus on God as being light. Right, that's the theme for today, is real light. But he talks about light again in chapter 2, brings it back up again. We'll also hear about truth in today's passage. And that's an idea that's going to come up in really every chapter of this letter. It's going to come up again. And here's the point of why I'm sharing all that, is that each time that John revisits a specific theme, it kind of amplifies that idea even more. Right, so each time you hear it, it should be like a little bit louder, a little bit louder, and a little bit louder. Okay, now we don't know. Did John set out intentionally to write it this way, or like was that just his personal style or approach, or was this the way the Holy Spirit just inspired him to write it, and it kind of worked out that way? Maybe a combination of both. We're not really sure. But even though the structure of this letter is somewhat chaotic, it's also brilliantly beautiful, right? So it's a pretty amazing letter. We're going into 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5 today, right? A little bit of background there, but now we're going to dive into the text. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, I would encourage you to open them up there. 1 John 1, we're going to go start at verse 5, and we'll work our way through chapter 2, verse 2. And here's what John writes. This is the message we have heard from him, talking about Jesus, and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All right, would you pray with me as we dive into this text this morning? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've given us to look at and to consider this morning. We pray that you would be moving in our hearts, that you'd be stirring in us, leading us forward in what it means to follow you and to know you, the real Jesus, more intimately. And we pray that you would be the one speaking through everything that we do this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so in verse 5, we're going to start right at the beginning there, verse 5. John sums up the message, he says, or at least, you know, a portion of the message that he and the disciples received from Jesus firsthand. They were firsthand witnesses to these things. And he says, this is the message we've heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's kind of the starting point for this whole section we're going to work through today. You know, when I think about light or darkness, one of the things that came to mind was a trip to the UP a number of years back with the kids, and we went to this cave mine, and it was an old mine that was shut down and now was a tourist thing, and you got in and you took a train down into the, you know, or a little train, not like a big one, but this train down into the caverns, and you walked through a part, and you came to this big, gaping hole that was there, blocked off. You couldn't get to it, but you could see that there was this deep gorge in this side of this mountain. And so, as we're in there, they took a moment and turned off all the lights, and it was so dark. Couldn't see any, like hand in front of your face, nothing like that. Maybe you've experienced something like that in your life, but it was dark and freaky, right? Like there was just no light whatsoever that was coming in. It was so dark and deep, and even with the lights that they had put in there so we could make our way down, when they turned them back on, they showed us this sign or this cutout. I think it was a bear or something like that, like Smokey the Bear or something like that, but way on the opposite side of this gorge. And they said, how big do you think that sign is? And you're like, well, one, it's hard to tell. You don't even know how big the chasm is between the two of you. But, you know, from us, it's looking like this. And we're like, I don't know, 8 feet, 10 feet. And they're like, yeah, that's 60 feet tall or something like that. It was insanely tall, and it looked like you lost all orientation, all perspective about size and distance and all that sort of thing because of how intense the darkness was, that even with the light that they put on these things, it didn't help, right? Light, the idea of light, is a spiritual metaphor that we see in Scripture all the time. We see it in all kinds of spiritual analogies, but in Scripture as well. It's a spiritual metaphor for both intellectual truth and moral goodness, right? The idea of light and darkness is connected to intellectual truth and moral goodness. If you think about it, when someone figures something out for the first time, we say it's like a light got switched on or the light bulb went off, right? When we're trying to help someone understand something, we are doing what? We're shedding some light on the situation. Right? And similarly, darkness is an opposite metaphor in regards to truth. When someone doesn't get it or understand something, we say, oh, they're in the dark. Right? So light, first of all, represents truth, the intellectual truth. But it also represents moral goodness. Moral goodness. Just as darkness represents things that are morally bad or evil. I mean, you think about it when you watch an edgy movie with a villain who does something really sinister or evil, we're like, oh, that's dark, right? That's dark, okay? So light is the spiritual metaphor for intellectual truth and moral goodness, truth and goodness. And John says God is light. And he's not just light in the sense that he shines a little brighter than the rest of us. He has like 100% brightness rating, right? God is perfectly pure and holy light. It says there is no darkness in him at all. Like no imperfection, no sin in him whatsoever, no darkness in him. Like God has this zero darkness rating. 100% pure light, truth, goodness, and 0% darkness. And so in that sense, light and darkness is a perfect analogy because look, light and darkness cannot coexist together. Wherever light appears, darkness flees. Darkness is not like a physical object, right? Darkness is simply the absence of light. The only way to make darkness is to block out the light, right? Like we put shutters up in here so we could create some atmosphere sometimes and that sort of thing. Some of you don't care for that. That's fine. But we also do it because if those shutters aren't closed, that sunlight at certain times of the year is piercing my eye from up here on the stage, right? It's just, whew, it's bright and probably burning a few people's shoulders coming through the glass. But now, when we needed to make things darker, we didn't go on Amazon and order a bunch of darkness and pour it into the room, right? You can't do that. We didn't add any darkness to the room at all. We just tried to minimize the amount of light coming in because wherever light is, the darkness disappears. So God is light, 100% pure light, and there is no darkness in him. So he is perfect truth and perfect goodness. Now, we probably all would agree with that statement, right? God is truth. God is goodness. He's, you know, he's truth and goodness completely. But if we do, then there are huge implications for that idea. Because here's what it really means for us. If God is truth, then no matter what you or I or anyone else thinks about his instructions and his commands and so on, he's right. He's the one who's right. And if God is goodness, then no matter how anyone thinks about his moral code or his standards of right or wrong, he's right. He's right. We can object. We can disagree. But we're wrong. Our thoughts and our feelings, they really don't matter. Because God is intellectual truth and moral goodness. That's what light is about, because God is light. He's all light, no darkness at all. Now, we have to kind of start with that understanding because next what John does is he gives like five kind of if-then situations that have to do with light and darkness and God himself in the next few verses. So verse 6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him, fellowship meaning, you know, connection, like a shared partnership and something in common. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Again, light and darkness can't coexist. So if we say we have fellowship with Jesus, yet we choose to willingly walk in the darkness, we're liars and do not practice the truth. There's a word for that. We call it hypocrite, right? Hypocritical. Because we're living a lie. We can't call ourselves a Christ follower if we're willfully choosing not to follow Christ, right? We can't consider ourselves Christians and then willfully choose to consistently walk in darkness and sin. This is what John's getting at. If we're doing both or trying to do both, we're not having real fellowship with Jesus. We're hypocrites. That's not light. That's dark. Verse 7, in contrast, he says, though, but If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Right? If we walk in the light, then we do truly have fellowship with him. Again, we talked about fellowship last week, that partnership, that participating in something together. If it's something we share in common, if we're in the dark about God or Jesus, we don't have fellowship with him. There's no relationship. But if we're in the light, then we do have fellowship with him. And that fellowship with him, that relationship that starts by us putting our faith and trust in him, it means we also have forgiveness through Jesus. Right relationship with God. It says his blood cleanses us from our sin. In regards to sin, verse 8, John says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Right? We're deceiving ourselves. We're choosing to believe a lie, and we'll say it this way, we're delusional, right? If the other one is hypocritical, this is like delusional. We're believing a lie. We're choosing to believe that. So God in his word says, look, we're sinful people who all need forgiveness through Christ. If we deny that, we deny that we have any sin, we're delusional. We're deceived. We've deceived ourselves. We're choosing to believe a lie. Isaiah 5:20 says this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Right? Like if we... If we see light or goodness and call it darkness, or if we see evil and darkness and call it light, then we're delusional. We've got it wrong. We're all messed up, and we're in serious trouble. Right? So that's not light. That's dark. Verse 9 says, in contrast, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like John says, look, in contrast to us denying our sin, if we recognize it, if we acknowledge our sin, if we confess it to him, he'll forgive us. Right? He will remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, the scriptures say. And look, God is both faithful and just, he says. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. He's faithful, so we can count on him, right? He will do what he says. He will forgive us when we trust him by faith, and he is just, so he's not going to go back to that standard, right? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness if we ask him, all of it. So how do we walk in the light instead of in the darkness? Well, we first of all stop denying that we're fine, we're good, and we confess that we're in the dark. Okay? And then here's the last statement. He says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And I'm just going to call that being rebellious, right? Like we're attacking, and specifically attacking God with a lie. Like we all have sin in us. He says that. We have a sinful nature. And we've sinned by choice. We've fallen short of God's standard of perfection. We don't like to admit that. We don't like to think that about people. But the scripture says, look, we've all fallen short. None of us measure up to God. But some people will refuse to believe that and will actually fight against that idea. And what they're saying is that God and what he says in his word, that's not true. And when we do that, we're calling God a liar. And those are kind of fighting words, right? So, like, we're fighting with God when we do that. We're rebelling against him. His light, his truth, his goodness, if that's the case, we're rebelling against him. It's not in us, plain and simple. That's not light. That's dark. So when we're hypocritical, delusional, or rebellious, like when we do these things, we're not walking in the light, John says. We're walking in darkness. And yet, if we're confessing our sin, choosing to walk in the light, and Jesus' blood is cleansing us from that sin, then we are. And here's why that's significant, is because Jesus is on our side, right? He's on our side. What John says next is that we have an advocate who can forgive us our sins and bring us into the light, right? So 1 John, the last two verses that we read in John, 1 John chapter 2, my little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so John is saying, look, we have an advocate who died to cleanse us and bring us into the light. Right? We have an advocate who died to cleanse us and bring us into the light in Jesus. He is pure light, truth, and goodness. He has no darkness in him at all, nothing false or evil. And he is the one who is our advocate. He's like the lawyer who knows the rule of law, and he appeals to God the Father, who's like the judge on our behalf. And he says, I know my client is guilty of sin, but I've paid his price. So he goes free. He also says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. Unusual word, we don't use that a whole lot. But it means something or someone who can atone for wrong, the wrong that we've done, and who can appease the anger and the wrath of judgment that should come with it. There's only one person who can do that, who can make amends, repair the wrong between us and God, and of course that's Jesus. He's the only one who can appease and the judge and cause him not to punish the criminal. Right? He is our advocate. He lived a perfect life, something we can never do. He willingly gave his life on a cross to pay a price we can never pay, to bring forgiveness for sin and to make a way for us to be right with God, who is perfect and holy. Right? He was righteous. He was perfect. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we get that righteousness credited to us, even though we can't measure up. It's an amazing offer. It's an amazing gift. So when we confess our sin and admit we're in the dark and need the light, he steps in as our advocate. That's why he gave his life on the cross. Now here's the question, as we kind of bring things to a close and head for communion today. What areas of darkness in your life need to be brought into the light? Right? What areas of darkness in our life, your life, my life, need to be brought into the light? It's a question I want to ask you to think about, to prayerfully consider in the next few moments. And as we come for communion, it's an opportunity for us to confess that to the Lord. To say, Jesus, I know I'm walking in some darkness. I know I've walked in some darkness. It might be something from this morning, last night, this last week, or something I've been doing for a while now, and I can't clean myself up. Only you can. I can't get this thing right on my own. Only by your strength and power am I going to be able to change. So I'm asking you to turn this darkness into light. I'm asking for your forgiveness. And as we come to communion, I want to invite you to consider that for a moment. If the team wants to come up, we're going to play a song. I want to invite you to come and take the bread and the juice. You can take it back to your seat, and we'll take communion together. But as you're coming, let this be an opportunity for us this morning to say, here is what I need to bring into the light and to lay that before Jesus this morning. I'm going to pray and then we'll invite you to come. Father God, we are thankful that you are a God who is all light. You are perfect truth, perfect goodness. You get it right. You're the standard for what's right. And Jesus lived his life in righteousness, something we can never do. We're grateful that he was willing to give his life on the cross as a sacrifice for us, to bridge the gap between us and you. We thank you for the price that he paid, a price we could never possibly pay. We thank you for being willing to offer him in that way so that we could be right with you. And God, we know we mess up. We know that we walk in some darkness sometimes. We move in some ways that you don't want us to be moving in. And this morning, we want to lay that at your feet. We want to offer it to you and just say, God, will you forgive us? Will you remove this transgression from me as far as the east is from the west? I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. Thank you that you are faithful and just, and you will forgive my sin when I confess it to you, and that's what I'm doing this morning. So I want to invite you as we sing this song to use the time that you need during this song if you need to speak with the Lord and confess anything to him. And then when you're ready, to come to the communion table and again take the bread and the juice back to your seat. We'll all take it together in a few moments. Right, talk to somebody else about it. Tell your small group, if you're in a small group, if you feel you can. Tell your husband or your wife or the friend or ministry partner that you meet with, because the struggle is so much harder to walk in the light than when we're trying to carry it out on our own. In fact, I think that's one of the lies of the enemy, is that you have to do this on your own. You can't tell anybody. Nobody. No. We're in this together. And so the challenge is, talk to a friend in Christ about an area of darkness, this area of darkness in your life that needs to be brought into the light. I just want to encourage you to take a chance on that, to, again, get real and to go deep. And so I'll pray, and then we'll close our time in worship. Father God, we know that you have given us each other to encourage one another, to help each other along on the journey of walking with you. We're not meant to do this life on our own. As we talk about what fellowship is, there's fellowship and connection with you, and that is vitally important, but you've given us each other, that fellowship with each other, so that we can help bear one another's burdens and carry each other along on this journey and encourage each other to continue to walk in the light. And so whatever the struggles are in our life, I pray that you would give us the courage to share that with someone that we can trust, who knows you, who loves you, and who wants our very best. And as we do that, we pray that you would use that as an opportunity through the power of your Spirit and the connection of somebody else, that you would just bring about growth and victory. That it would be by your strength and your power, that we would be surrendered to you. And as we do that, that you would change us. And that we would begin to see more of your perfect truth and goodness, your light reflected in us. Again this morning, we thank you for your Son, for what he has accomplished for us, for Jesus, his sacrifice. And in these last few moments, we turn our hearts just to worship and praise you for who you are and what you've done. It's in the name of Christ we pray these things.
for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.